Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Last week, we had on with us Donna Wood from Florida Free Pat. Donna has been advocating for her fiancé who went to prison at the age of 17. She is going to be back on with us to speak more about Patrick's situation, as well as the concerns we all have when it comes to sentencing guidelines. No one should receive life in life without parole sentences unless there is absolutely no chance that they can ever be rehabilitated. We know in the prisons today that people are not being rehabilitated. They are being prevented from being rehabilitated mainly because of prisons for profit. These large corporations that have investments in the prisons are making a lot of money, including the prison officials and I'm sure the commissioners themselves. So they are not going to try to rehabilitate in the right way. Yesterday, as I mentioned in the radio show, there was a family that was seeking help for their loved one who was recently paroled. And the reason being early parole was because he was finishing up some college classes that he was taking inside. He was going to be registering to finish his last class. And the class itself starts on August 30th, and he now is going to be released on September 1st, preventing him from meeting the guidelines to register for his class, his final classes. These are some issues we really need to look at, because it's not only happening in one state. Everyone seems to think that their state is the worst, when in fact, we have it in every state. And if people got more involved and started actually getting involved enough to start working with advocates from other states who are advocating for the incarcerated, they will see for themselves how serious it is in other states as well. Rehabilitation. So today we're going to be discussing community issues resulting in crime, in harsh sentencing, and second chances. Changes can be made to bring about hope for the incarcerated behind those prison walls, including our ability to work in unity to find alternatives to incarceration, while also considering safety issues, challenging the prosecution, their integrity, and ensuring fair trials and appropriate indigent defense. And lastly, we'll need to fight for realistic and equitable sentences in the United States penal system. Anyone committing an offense under the age of 25 years, and especially those who have been incarcerated over 25 years, deserve to have a second chance at freedom. No one should be sentenced to 1, 2, 3, or more life sentences behind bars. It's unrealistic, inhumane, and absurd. So criminal justice reform in the United States is long overdue, and hopefully we will be able to discuss why and where it needs to start. I want to mention these things because, again, we have a high rate of recidivism in our country, very high rate. We also have a high rate of suicides behind those prison walls in the United States of America. These are all issues that we really need to focus on if we're really the righteous that has so much to say about people that stumble. It's really unfortunate when these things happen and nothing is done about it. And that's the problem that we need to discuss today. We really need to find out what we can do to make these positive changes instead of watching and waiting for people to end up taking their own lives because they can no longer cope. And I want to make something else clear. We have so many people in the prisons that a lot of you in the audience and others, even legislative members, are not aware of. And that is prevention. That is denial, refusing, deny. These prisoners behind those prison walls that are being targeted, whether it be for the race, whether it be for the person that they offended or the person that they harmed, whatever the case may be, there are people behind those prison walls that are trying to serve their time without incident. They are trying to serve their time productively. They're trying to get involved in programs, work programs, educational programs, and these things are not happening. They're being prevented and denied. And unfortunately, because of that, when they do get an opportunity to go up for parole, they're denied because there's nothing showing that they participated in any programs. This is the mentality of our Department of Corrections across the country, the mentality of the people that are overseeing those who have stumbled, denying them programs. We had on with us also a mother of a young man who had been having serious pain in his tooth. He went a month before they treated him, a whole month of pain. And we all know what a toothache is all about. So when someone's suffering from a serious toothache and not getting any treatment, you can imagine the agony they're going through every night, trying to sleep, every day, trying to eat, trying to survive there. There are so many things going on behind the prison walls that people do not know. And again, I'm going to talk about Families Against Mandatory Minimums, FAMM. You can find them on the internet, FAMM. They're trying to encourage all of us, including you who are listening. They're trying to encourage us to contact our legislative members, our politicians, and ask them why they're not going into the prisons to meet with these incarcerated individuals. Why they're not meeting with them, because if they do meet with them, they're going to find out a lot of things that no one knows about when it comes to rehabilitation, when it comes to medical, when it comes to psychological, when it comes to educational, when it comes to employment. They're not getting the treatment they need. They're not getting the rehabilitation. And it seems like the public doesn't even want to see prisons improve until your family member or someone you know that's close to you goes into those prison walls, goes behind those prison walls. And then you'll see for yourself what happens. And unfortunately, it's going to happen to you, or it's going to happen in your family. It's going to happen to someone that you're dear to, that you know. Because they say one in every seven people in the United States is behind those prison walls. And when you think about it, 2.3 million. We have mass incarceration in the United States that's not anywhere else in the world. It will hit you. And if you don't do something about it now, there's going to be a time when you won't be able to. There's going to be a time when you won't be able to get any help. You won't be able to do anything about it because we have so much division in this country, even with our legislative members, our politicians, their parties. There's going to be a time when you may end up crying out for help for your loved one or your friend's loved one, someone you know. But if you let things get to be so bad that there's no hope of changing or reforming the criminal justice system, if you let it go so far, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. When you do some research into the history of how drugs got into the country and how that became a major issue, drugs got into the country because of the mafias that felt that they could get the people of color on drugs to destroy themselves. And you see what happened. It went beyond the people of color. It's all over the place. And unfortunately, it's done some major damage. Substance abuse, drugs, overdosing, incarceration, crime, everything escalated. And that's why I say you have an opportunity to step in and start networking with advocates all over the country. That's what we need to do. We need to network. And those groups, even on Facebook, that I have joined that have to do with prison reform, families of prisoners, advocates, all of those groups that I have joined, I have connected other people with them that have also connected with other groups. And if we look at these things and we see how networking can be so productive in getting things accomplished, then maybe we're going to see things in the U.S. start to improve. There's even division in Massachusetts because of the president's recent good deed to help these college students pay back their loans. But unfortunately, there's division in that area too, because even the governor of Massachusetts is opposed to it, because they don't feel that people in school should get reimbursed for their, or pay, have their college tuition paid, because others that are in a better situation have to pay on their own. So there's so much division. But what we're going to do right now, as I mentioned, Donna Wood from Florida Free Patrick is back on with us, and she's going to be talking more about some of these issues as well. Going to prison at the age of 17, and this is not isolated. This is happening in the United States. Again, as I say, under the age of 25, they're either in school, they're in college, they're still growing, they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives. No one should receive a life or life without parole sentence. But in Donna's fiance's case, Patrick received two life sentences, and Donna will talk about that now. Donna, are you on with us?
Yeah, hi. This is Tracy.
Hi. I want to welcome you back again, Donna, because your story and Patrick's story was heartbreaking. It really was. And as I say, it's not an isolated situation, but for him to get 2.5 life sentences at the age of 17 is bringing no hope at all to him, to you, or to many others out there in the communities who are going to have loved ones serve in the same time if something's not done about it. So can you introduce yourself again to the audience and talk a little bit about how you started the Free Patrick Foundation or petition?
So my name is Stacy Woods. I am with Florida Free Pat. Patrick was 17 when he went to prison, and at 19 he caught his 2 life sentences plus 50 years while he was in prison. He got involved in a riot, and he just, you know, at 19, I think boys just jump in and just do whatever, you know what I'm saying? They don't think of any consequences or everything. So that is, he caught 2 life sentences plus 50 years for rioting and battery of a Leo. No one was killed. And he'll be 50 years old in September.
50?
So he's 50. He'll be 50. Yes, ma'am.
He's been in over 25 years.
Yeah, he's going on his 34th year.
And went in as a child. You know, this is what really bothers me is, you know, when you say 50, and I'm thinking he went in at 17, they don't even, I mean, he was still a youth. There's no hope. Even if he was to get out now, even if others were to get out now, after being in all those years, going in as a very young person, it would be scary for them. It would be devastating for them, because when they come out, first of all, they're adults now. So there was never any transition between youth and adulthood outside of the prison setting.
Right. He's never lived a free day outside of prison as a grown man. as an even young man, as a young adult. You know, Patrick could have really, you know, did a lot in this world. He's very intelligent. He's very compassionate. And, you know, he's stuck in a system in Florida that is not ever going to change until we make it change. The state of Florida probably has some of the worst laws on the book. It's, you know, when you think of David and Goliath in the Bible, Florida is the Goliath of prison. They have more life sentences in the state of Florida than 30 states combined. 30. You know, we're in a campaign right now with Society First, and we are signing up all lifers in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and fight the constitutionality of a life sentence in the state of Florida. Even in their constitution, it states that no person shall serve an indefinite. You know, when is enough time being served, enough time? Like, when is you prison is supposed to be a form of punishment, but when is it enough time that they have served?
Exactly.
Like, you know, I mean, how much punishment how are you going to put on a person? You know, in Florida, there is no parole system. There's no parole system in place in the state of Florida. And there's several other states that are like that as well. And, you know, I just think that, you know, I sit here and I watch, and we all do. We sit here and we watch TV and we see what's going on, and we understand, you know, we see, you know, people getting killed, or these policemen that are just, they're basically horrible. You know, they have horrible decision skills, and they never pay the price for killing people. Because they're the police, I don't feel that they should be able to kill people. But,
and not only that,
six young kids up in prison for little things like, you know, thievery, or, you know, theft, or, you know, little, you know, I wouldn't say little things, but I would say, you know, a lot littler than killing people.
These law enforcement, what makes me so upset is not only do they get away with it, but a lot of times they get paid while being investigated, paid leave. They're just,
yeah,
they're no different than anybody else other than a uniform. Why would they get paid leave when other people get fired from their jobs? If, you know, if they do something or something happens, they get fired immediately.
Exactly. And that's why I say, when is it going to start? When is freedom, or I should say, when is justice going to be a two-way street in America? When are, you know, people in power, they go and they do so much wrong. And, you know, I mean, and then we just say, oh, if the police went and did something to them, oh, well, they're being targeted. You know, that's not fair. That's not right. You can't be targeted if you don't put yourself in that position. That's how I feel. And the way it is I think in America, we want everything to be smooth and be okay. But it's not if you're not doing right. And come on, you cannot put these young kids in prison like this. I have a lady, she called me a couple of days ago, and she was just in tears, and she said, oh, my husband, he served 44 years in prison. This is down in Florida. And I said, oh, my God. She said he was 15 when he went in. 15. So more likely, he is probably in the mindset of about a 12-year-old, because, you know, boys do mature a lot slower than girls. And she said they'll never let him out because it's all political. Pat's case was political as well. But she said they would never let him out, and the reason why is because his case involved a murder of a state trooper.
Keep talking.
And literally, the kid has been in prison since he was 15. He's going on 60. So he's stuck in that system at the same way Patrick is. And no one can get any type of, you know, resolution. Come on. You know, these guys, they put in all these court, you know, and they have a lot of good cases that go to court in Florida. And literally, no kidding, no joke, they basically deny everything in the court system in the state of Florida. Deny, deny, deny. Come on. Somewhere, somehow, you know, you can't deny everything. And, you know, I think our courts are broken as well. They're pressured by, you know, governors and, you know, activists. And come on. We need to advocate for change across the board. I think there, you know, I think it needs to be straight across the board. Our system is broken. We're broken in America. And if you don't believe that, you better go back and start reading some of these, you know, things. Most of these kids go from school to straight to prison sometimes. And that's just not, that's not a system that we should have in America. America that's supposed to be the land of the free. And we are the most incarcerated nation on the earth planet, period. And that's very sad. I think it's extremely sad that mass incarceration continues after all these years. And we're talking about building more prisons instead of letting some of the ones out of prison that have grown up, that need to put their mark on the world. People like Patrick, people like the young man, this case I just mentioned, these guys, they deserve a second chance. So I really think that a lot of people need to understand that change needs to come to America, and it needs to start in our court system. It needs to start by changing some of these laws that they made to be so strict to put all these people in prison. I truly just believe that we need to do a lot of things that can better our country. And, you know, you were talking about loans, you know, paying back, you know, getting some of the loans, and, you know, come on. I mean, it's unreal. And President Biden is correct in stating that, you know, if you was in the process of trying to get you a degree to live better, you're not living any better now because you're stuck with these high paying loans. And I don't think you should have to be like that in America. I mean, every other country, somewhere, somehow, they get proper schooling or further schooling than, you know, grade school on up to high school for free. And, I mean, we have to better ourselves so we can go out here and compete with other people in other countries, and we need to be able to do that. But you can't do that if you're always bogged down by bills. I feel it's fair that, you know, he has gave education, you know, a fair chance, because I think everything should be within reach for everyone in America, and that's including some of these prisoners.
You know, sometimes I hear in your voice right now, Donna, I hear the stress that you've been under, the strain. It takes a toll on not only loved ones, but it also takes a toll on advocates. In your case, you're doing both. You have a loved one inside, you're advocating. And that happens with a lot of us, and this is the sad thing about it. But I wanted to say something real quick. We have three categories of people in the United States when it comes to government. And not the government, but the people are the government. We have the poor, we have the average, and we have the wealthy citizens of the United States. When the government or the legislative members or anyone in higher power speaks, they don't talk the same language that the poor and the middle class can understand. They talk a language that their own understand. So a lot of times, people in society, they don't know the full story. They don't understand it. I'm not saying that they're ignorant. What I'm saying is they are ignorant, but what I'm saying is they're not uneducated. It's just that they're not familiar with the terms that are used by these people in power. So when they talk,
exactly,
a lot of times you're hearing words that it takes somebody that has a lot of involvement in what's going on in the criminal system and also in the communities, or it's something that the wealthy can understand, but the middle class and poor can't. Or it's something that the middle class can understand as well, but not as clearly as those in power. So one of the things is, when people don't get involved, what they're doing is they're making themselves look foolish, not to us, but to those in higher power, those that are more wealthy. And if they were to get involved, if they were to start working and networking and start to understand more about what's going on in their own country, then the wealthy and the people in power are going to start looking at these people that didn't understand before but now do. They're going to start making changes. They see us doing things, and it gets them really upset, because they're looking down and they're saying, these people have not even been in political positions, but yet they seem to know a lot about what we're doing. They seem to know a lot about what we're saying. And if people in society were to get more involved, they would be looking at them in the same light. But what they're doing is they're pulling the wool over, as they say, they're pulling the wool over these middle-class people. They're pulling the wool over them, because even though these people that are middle-class think that they know all these things, those in power know better.
They say
life experience is more valuable than a piece of paper from a college or university, because people that have lived these experiences, lived it, whether they went through it themselves, their loved ones went through it, or someone that they're familiar with went through it, they're learning a lot about the criminal justice system. Whereas a lot of people, average citizens, they don't really know much about the criminal justice system. They don't have a clue
and
what the criminal justice system is all about.
Clue. And sometimes they don't know anything about the criminal justice system until they get caught up in things that they can't get out of. And knowing, you know, they always say that the rich stick together, and everyone, you know what I'm saying, they kind of just stay in their class or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing of it is you don't have to be rich to be aware of what is going on in your society or in your area of life. You don't have to. What you have to do is be vigilant and understand that some of these laws that they put on these books, hey, don't think that it can never happen to you. just don't think that. Don't think that it can never be, you know, handled, or you can't get caught up in this system and never get out. And that's where a lot of people have ended up and not understood the law, having not understood the laws, whether while they were breaking them or what, they didn't realize they could get caught up and get stuck in. I mean, really, honestly, who in the world would think that you would get two life sentences plus 50 years for a riot?
No, who in the world would have that mentality to think that somebody is going to live that long, to serve that
exactly
long of time?
You know, and I'm sorry, but that Pat carries the longest prison term given for that actual crime, for rioting and battery of Leo in the state of Florida, in the state of
Hello?
Florida prison system.
Yes. Your name, please?
My name is Marcus.
Marcus, how are you?
Good. How are you? I just wanted to bring my input on this topic. I'm currently a little worried. I'm facing some time myself. I got caught selling grass outside of a school, and I just want to know, am I going to get fucked in the ass in prison?
I want to ask you something, first of all.
Will I get fucked in the ass in prison, though?
I just cut him off because I don't take that kind of language. If he wants to talk, he's going to have to do it elsewhere.
But I don't want to get fucked in the ass in prison, though.
I'm
worried.
I don't know who you are, but you're not coming on this show talking about your book. You know, these are the kind of sick people that they don't need to be in society, because this is a game played. You know, there's a way when people come on, you can tell who they are or what they're all about, because there's a hand standing up. And this person is coming on. This is why we have problems in this country. We get people like that coming on. We're trying to get some serious stuff done, and we get people like this coming on.
Well, you know, the mentality level of that is, it just shows that, one, you need to educate yourself. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, what he was calling in, if I go to prison, this is going to happen to me. That's not necessarily true. Most of the time, nobody even bothers you. You just kind of have to keep your head down and keep moving. So educate yourself. Don't sit and go by watching movies or TV shows and think this is the way prison life is. Most of these men in there and women are really good people. They're just stuck in a system where it's hard to come out of. Two, you're not too bright if you're standing outside of a high school or a school selling, you know, weed or any type of narcotic.
No, this man that was just talking about that, no, this is a sick person. You know, when I can tell when people talk like that, because first of all, they legalize marijuana. Secondly, when somebody comes on and talks like that and keeps repeating the word that he was repeating, he's either a part of the prison system, or he's some kind of jackass that they pull off the street and put with their gangs or with their groups that are so ignorant. That shows the lack of intelligence, and that shows the lack of proper bringing up. When somebody comes on the show and tries to talk that way, this is what I was talking about the other day with insecure people. This guy is insecure. And so he feels he's got to make a point to his peers, his friends, or whoever it is he's calling to impress. That is a sick man who was brought up improperly, and I hate to think of what kind of background they come from.
Yeah.
Because at one time, people would call it trash.
Yeah, that is very true.
But it's good because it's given the people a chance. It's given the audience a chance to hear this kind of ignorance, to see what kind of people are on the outside of those prison walls. And the jackass
exactly.
is coming back on again because the little white hand is up.
Wow.
It's sick that we have to live in a world with people like that. And that's why the prisons are full. 2.5 million because of assholes like that, excuse my language.
Yeah. 2.5 million people are in prison. Just imagine that. That's some country's total population, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
That's what's sad. And this is happening in America, the United States of America, the land of the free, the ones that are, you know, we're supposed to be able to.
Let me hear what he has to say now, because I'm sure the insecure asshole is trying to make a point.
Hi, this is Woody. I have a huge heart on right now, and I was wondering.
See, that's the kind of sickness we have.
Yeah.
That's the kind of sickness we have.
Just pure ignorance.
But you know what? That's good because the audience is listening to them, and the audience now knows what we're talking about when we talk about these people that cause others to stumble. The audience, I hope you're listening to these fools coming on. This is sick. This is what we have in the United States of America.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
It's crazy.
But again, we want to get back to the age groups of these incarcerated individuals going in and the types of sentences they're getting. You know, I looked it up the other day to find out the oldest people that are incarcerated and the longest sentence. There was a sentence of 1,800 life sentences. Can you believe this? This is our government. Who in the world is going to live past one life sentence, never mind 1,800?
It's crazy.
That shows the hatred of people.
And you know, again, I'll say it, we really truly need to get some type of control back on making these, you know, giving out these sentences. This is just utterly crazy.
I want the audience to hear, because this is what goes on in this country. Only America. Listen to this. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to come. Keep talking. Keep talking. I want to come.
I'm going to let him go on because I want everybody to hear what kind of sick people in this country.
I just blew a big fat fucking load all over my computer screen.
This is what's on the outside of the prisons. Listen to this.
Yeah.
This is on,
would
the
like
about what's
my
on the outside.
Spank, 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 spank. Spank.
Wow.
No, let him go on. This is why I say replace.
You want to buy some crack?
Because this is what we have.
You guys
want to
buy some crack?
This is
how about some acid?
Someone insecure. He's trying to impress his friends. Let's hear it.
Do you want to buy some crack? Some acid? I mean, it sounds like you need some drugs. It'd probably calm your asses down. I mean, shit.
This is normal, right? This is normal for people like that.
I sell pretty good meth. I make my own meth, too. I make it in my trailer park. I almost blew myself up the other day, though.
No, let him go.
I, like, mixed the wrong chemicals together.
I want to
cigarette in the meth lab.
This is what's in the prison. This is the overseas.
I make pornography. I make homemade porno as well, and I was wondering if you two would like to film one with me. I will pay you. I mean, I'm only going to pay you in cock, though, not in money. Why haven't you hung up yet? I don't know what the fuck else to say to you. Shit.
No,
hang up, you dumb bitch.
I want everybody to hear what people like you, insecure, sick people like you are. Because you're trying to impress your friends or trying to impress somebody.
Here,
I know you're
here,
not impressing yourself.
I'm going to take a fat bong grip right now. Here, hold on. Ugh.
Let them go, Donna. Let them keep going. I want people to know what you can do.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. That's a good bong rip. You guys smoke it all or no? Smoke weed?
Only in America. But they came from their own country. Ireland and Italy or Europe might have been. I don't know.
You guys don't. Come on. You need to fucking smoke some weed for sure. I think if anything, I'd say do some acid, but you at least need some weed in your life. Here, I'm going to smoke some more. Here, listen.
Audience, I want you to know this is from the outside of the penal system, not the inside. This is what we have in our communities that are getting away with, but they're not inside. I want the audience to know.
You're talking about how there's no prison rape. I'll tell you, when I was in prison, I fucked a lot of dudes in there, okay? I pounded some brown mound, got some brown on my clown. They shat all over my cock when I anally fucked them, is what I'm trying to say.
And what they do is they let the ones they know are going to reoffend. They let them out of the prison so people will see or think that the prisoners shouldn't get out, that harsh punishment should be there. But they let the ones out that they know are going to mess up again because they know these people are sick.
Yep.
And this is why we have people inside the prisons that don't have an opportunity to get out, because they left the sick ones out, the ones that they connect with.
And the ones
But why'd they let me out of prison, though?
This is somebody that either works for the
get out because
I was just trying to say I was scared. I was scared I was going to get fucked in the ass in prison. You guys wouldn't even help me, though.
Did your mother and father get it?
Did they fuck me in the ass in prison? No, they didn't go to prison with me.
No, did they have problems with you growing up? Or did they teach you this?
They just like burnt me with cigarettes and stuff. It was pretty cool. It's kind of hot.
You know, I'm going to keep you on prayer because you really need it.
Cigarette burns. Well, it was my Uncle Rodney, really. He used to teach me when I was a child. You know, this one day we got drunk for the first time and I woke up and my ass hurt real bad. And I was like, damn it, there's Uncle Rodney again.
Yeah, you need prayer. I'm going to keep you on. What's your first name again?
First name is Mike. My last name is Hawk. You can call me Mike Hawk.
You know, I'm not, I know that that's not your real name, but I'm going to keep you in prayer because I feel really bad. Not that you're sick, that you're doing this on purpose, but I feel really bad that you are a blessed person being on the outside and you spend that time you have, instead of trying to do something positive, you spend it coming on a radio show acting like somebody that has no education, someone that is a very sick person, when you sound like you could be a very good person.
I've got a lot of education.
So what is causing you to be the way you are?
Well,
I mean, I'm joking about what happened.
Honestly, it started. I'll be honest with you. So I was fucking my sister the other day, and then she turned around and said, "You know, you have a bigger dick than Dad," and it made me really insecure because I never wanted to hear that my father had a bigger cock than I did. It made me feel like dirt, you know? Shit, that makes you feel awful. You know, my pecker isn't that small. I can do some damage with it, but, you know, you hate to, you know, you always want to do better than your parents before you, you know?
Donna, we'll have
I've been
this
trying to, like, buy
those
pecker
pills
from the porn websites. I got a joking machine to start stretching my pecker out because my pecker is quite small. It does need a bit of a stretching. And now I've gotten up to like 8 inches just by being stretched. It's all purple now, though, but the ladies like that anyways. Would you like to see it? I could show it possibly over the air.
No, I'm letting you vent. I'm letting you say whatever you want. You know why? Because you are very insecure. You need this attention. So we're giving you this attention. If you don't want to talk about the real issue, if you don't want to be really serious.
This is exactly what I want is attention. So I appreciate
You're getting it nationwide. Go ahead.
Ooh, like, how big of an audience is this? I'm trying to think of what I can say. Of like, okay, so tell me, how many people listen? Like,
I just wish you could be
200, 300.
I wish you could be telling us the truth, because maybe we can get you help. Other than that, we have a show to go, and you know, we gave you enough time to play. So go back to your pig pen or pen pal or whatever.
I'm gonna.
Okay, Donna, let's go on, because we can't talk to somebody that's this sick. It takes the audience. I want the audience to know though, these are the kind of people that they should be concerned with, not the ones behind those prison walls. There are people behind the prison walls that are messed up, that need help and need to be inside. But the majority of them are normal people.
They send people, you know, that have an addiction problem. They send them there. That's not where they need to be. They need to be in rehab. And a prison is not meant for them to be there. You know what I'm saying? So that's where they have always done wrong by the prison system or whatever. So it's just, we have so much that, and this one right here, I truly don't even think the boy has any sense, but
the thing is, I have never dealt with a prisoner, and I've been advocating for over 25 years. I have never dealt with an incarcerated individual that would talk that kind of language in front of me or in front of any woman.
Yeah.
But that goes to show you the ignorance. That goes to show you how people are raised. I want to say, this is what I want to say too. When somebody is raised in a good home and a crime happens, and the people that the crime occurs against, and not, this doesn't happen all the time, but there are instances where the people the crime is against, just like this man that was on with us a few minutes ago, they need to check both sides. And that's why I appreciate when Mariam Jacobs, the psychosocial therapist, speaks about deeper justice, because people need to go deeper into situations to find out what caused these people to become incarcerated. Now, when this person here, he talks like he might be employed with the system. Because I remember having to go to Pennsylvania one time and meet with other organizations to do a rally in front of a prison because of three young men who allegedly committed suicide after begging for help because it was the employees that were causing it. And there was a guard that came out and got in his pickup truck. I guess he was going home, and he went by this whole crowd saying, "Let them all die, let them all die." And he talked just like this man. So that's why I say, when he comes on like that, this is probably somebody that is a guard or works for the penal system, and or he's a person that is friends with law enforcement or something like that. That's the type of person this is. And that was all done purposely. Now, that goes to show you as well what kind of overseers we have. People really need to...
Overseers are the worst ones, you know.
The audience needs to consider these things. They need to listen, and they just heard this man come on, and some, if it was the same man before, if it's the same man or a different man. But the audience listening to something like that should wake them up and should let people know. They need to focus as well, more so on those in the free world, in the communities, than those behind those prison walls.
Yeah. Very much so. Yep, very, very much so. It is it's a sad state that we live in this world. I think it gets sadder and sadder every day. We keep trying to punish the ones that have been punished the longest, and then what does it happen? What happens with it? You know, it's just not fair. There's really not a lot of fairness in this. And they call it the justice system, but truly, is it the justice system?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't, because a lot of people don't get justice from it.
sometimes I don't blame, a lot of times I don't blame the people like the one that was just on the show. What I blame, the ones I blame are the people that are out in the communities that are listening to this kind of stuff and still not doing anything about it. You know, I don't blame the government for not doing their job because the people are the government. But the people don't
right.
realize this man that just called in, he's considered the government because he's the people. We are the government. But yet if we are doing nothing, then we can't blame those who are acting as government employees or whatever. If they get away with these things, who can we blame? We can't blame people like this man because this man needs help. And probably his peers, they need help, and they're not going to get it because they're connected to people who are just as sick as they are.
He reminds me of a school shooter.
Yeah.
Some of these are bullied in things, but yet in the same sense, it's just like being in school. You know, they don't get any help.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's pitiful. I've traveled so many countries, and I've seen so much. And these are, a lot of them were poverty-stricken countries, too. But I've seen so much respect and so much intelligence. These people are not only Christians. They're not only a believer that there's a higher power that someday is going to, you know, in the book of Romans, it talks about it. Jesus himself said it in the scriptures, to be nice to people like this because vengeance is his. You know, these
right.
people don't realize that there is a higher power until the day comes where they're going to regret everything that they did and there's not going to be any chance for them to undo the damage that they've done.
Exactly.
That's why I say, even if this person didn't believe in God, at least believe that there is going to be something beyond the system of things when he goes.
Yeah, because, you know, like the rapture will be coming soon, and a lot of people will be left behind, as they say.
You know,
sad.
It's happening. It's happened. Now, remember when God told Noah after the flood, there'd never be a flood again. It would be by fire, right? Look what we have going on right now. The earth is
yeah.
at its hottest peak. The global warming can't be undone. You get the fires in California and all in those places. Now you've got the nuclear weapon. You've got China, Russia, you've got Iran. You've got them all coming together, and Israel's going together with Ukraine. This Ukraine and Russia thing is going to be the downfall of this world. And nuclear weapons. So this man can do all the talking he wants. That's why I said I'll keep him in prayer, because he doesn't realize he never apparently never got any kind of religious background, any kind of knowledge about what's going on. But these things really happen. If these things didn't happen, we would not have all these religions believing in the same thing. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They believe in even the Muslims. They believe in Jesus and Muhammad as great prophets. But they don't realize,
right.
this man does not realize, and people like him do not realize, there is a real being, a higher power, that is going to be doing something beyond this system of things when we're gone. And there's no way that he can take back all the damage he did on the show today, because it's going to be too late for him. And there's people out there like him that are going to be doing the same thing, regretting every moment that they thought they were doing something funny to impress their friends.
Right, and it's just really sad. I mean, hopefully that kid gets his head up and hopefully gets moving the right direction. I don't think the youth nowadays is just not the same as they're not held to a higher standard. I guess that's what you might want to say. But you can't say all of the youth is like that because they're not. It's just pretty much most of the rest of them are like that. So, I find it so sad, and so it's just really sad.
What's really sad is when the public, the people that hear all this, and they're hearing it now, to hear it and not to do anything about it. I mean, not even to call in to find out, you know, is this real? Is this person for real? No.
Yeah.
That's why people like him get away with things they get away with. It'll be in the minds of people listening, though. They won't forget it too soon, and maybe eventually it'll wake them up to see what's going on in the communities that they're living in. It's, you know, it's like when we had the this pandemic's been so long, but the prisons had all these visits on suspension, right?
Uh-huh.
Nobody came to visit, but yet the drugs were still getting in. So the people were still getting high on drugs, and they still do. And not all prisons have yet allowed contact visits. So the drug's still coming in. It has to be from the guards. Now, this man that called in.
As well as those cell phones. And that's where a lot of the people, you know, in Florida, they're trying to get away with our visits. They're trying to do away with physical visitation. And we have started a, you know, a campaign, and it's called Visits Matter. And the main thing of it is a lot of these, you know, our secretary, he thinks he's slick. You're not slick. You know, you're trying to send a letter because we got it in them prisons and let them know, hey, look, this is what's happening. They're trying to take away your visitation. Now, we are so short of, you know, staff in the Florida Department of Corrections. I can honestly say this would not end well with the Department of Corrections. And the reason I say that is because these men and women, they expect their visitation. You know, that is something that keeps them grounded. It's something that keeps their minds going forward to look for something better down the way. You know what I'm saying? So that is something that they expect. Now, you try to get away with their visitation. I mean, really? These people are not dumb by no means. And, you know, then all of a sudden he wants to turn around and say, oh, we are spreading vicious rumors or whatever. No, we really were not. We're spreading your rumors because that is what you stated you wanted to do, not what we wanted to do. We didn't never want you to get rid of our visitation. You know, they really try and always turn it back on the people, but let's be real. It's your staff. Look into your own staff. And I bet things you would be like, oh, wow, is this what's really happening? Yeah, it is.
You know,
it's happening all across the country. You know, they've gotten rid of our mail. So, like, if we send a letter to our loved ones, they don't get it. They don't get the actual letter. They get something that is scanned into.
You know, this is why I say everybody thinks their country, their state is different. Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, the same thing. Other states, the same thing. They copy the mail, incoming mail. Now they copy it, and the prisoners get the copies, not
yep.
the original. You know, some states they can only get five pages of anything at a time. Others can get 11 pages. So the number of pages, even in a mailing or whatever, they vary. But when it comes to copying and giving copies to the individuals and keeping the originals, these are a major problem. Pennsylvania, if you write a prisoner in Pennsylvania, it goes to Florida first. It's some kind of Florida communication. You put the prisoner's
yeah.
name, his ID number, and you put his facility in the state, and then it goes to Florida. And from Florida, they send it to the prisoners. So when you talk about Florida with all these things, it's happening in other states. But that's why I say people need to get involved and start networking so that they can learn about what's going on. People right now that are listening to this, they might have a loved one in Ohio, and they might have thinking about the loved one they have in Ohio, what he's going through or she's going through, only to find out that what you're talking about is happening here, is happening in Ohio too. You
mm-hmm.
know, these are issues that really, really need some strong.
And I do know in Nevada they have a petition going around online now. Nevada is trying to fight the rule change for mail as well. So what people don't understand is you can't even send your loved one pictures anymore.
No.
The pictures also get photocopied and sent to them. And they, you know, a lot of them that are doing life in prison or whatever, honest to God, these guys and women, they have their own picture books, and they go through them, and they look through their family, and they find joy in that. And what are they doing? They're taking away people's joy.
And not only that, but as I say, these people go in at young ages. And when I think about all these years that they've been in, and I think about somebody that's been blessed to be on the outside, like this man that called in, he was blessed. But you know what? Blessings can be taken away just as quickly as they can be given. So all the things that he did on this thing, on this show today, it's going to be a reverse curse. You watch and see. We're going to be hearing from him someday, and he's going to be apologizing for what he said and how he reacted on this show. Because I'll tell you, there is a God, and this man will find out very soon what God can do. We
karma,
have a mighty, powerful God.
Yeah, karma is truly real.
That's it. That's it. When I think about even your fiancé there, 17 years old when he went in, and when he was on the show the last time, he was talking so mature, he was talking so respectful, and then somebody like this comes on, that's on the outside, has been blessed to be on the outside, and talks the trash. And if he has a sister, he has no respect whatsoever for his own sister.
And that's one thing about Patrick. Patrick is very, very, he's very, he's smart. He stops. He loves and worries about his mom, his sister. He does not play around when it comes to his family members. Like, he is very, you know, protective and loves them and respects his, you know, mom and his sister and everything. So it's respect is, you know, respect is taught from a very young age.
Yeah.
And if you're allowing your child to, you know, snap back at you or tell you no, or and you find that funny, you know, laugh and find it funny or whatever, you know, that's not cool. And as they used to say, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, you would have grandparents that would come around us and would teach us the old time ways. You know what I'm saying? That you were not allowed to do that. And like my grandchildren, I have 3 grandchildren, and I, you know, they're young. They're 5, 3, and 3 days old. And there's no, you know, my granddaughter, they try you too, and they'll, But that don't mean you can't love them and find them cute, but you have to also literally look at them and be like, uh-uh, we don't play that. No, you will be respectful.
You know, that's, and I think that's the way many of us were raised, and there's been many people incarcerated to this day who were raised that way, to be respectful of others, to treat others right, and that's why I say they need to look at both sides when things like this happen, because now this is a man that's on the outside, and there's people inside that are, they're much more respectful, they're much more intelligent, and they're much more caring and compassionate.
Yeah, and I will say you and anyone that knows someone on the inside, as they call it, they would know then that men in on the inside, they don't like if you have done a crime against a woman or a crime against a child.
I know it.
They don't do that. They I mean, if you're, you know, you're robbing and whatever, you come in with the better chance of not ever being bothered than if you went in hurting a woman or a child. They don't
and
like
you know,
that.
I'm going to say something about that, too, because there are women out there that, just like this man that came on, there are women out there that talk the same way, that act the same way, that are the same way. The fortunate thing is, they're not like most women, but there are women who have caused men to be sent to prison for life or life without or even on death row. There are women out there that are just like this man that called in earlier, and they probably are the same type of people that would be hanging out together. But there are many men. There are many men who have always been respectful of women, are respectful of women and children. And if you hurt a child, then people like this man that came on, there might be some truth to what he said when it comes to something about hurting a child. But then there's people inside who have been victims before becoming offenders, who were traumatized as children by having people like this man that came on, sick people like that, that have violated these people that are now in prison and serving life and life without parole. So there's a lot of people behind those prison walls that have had trauma happen to them. And there's people that were like this man that was on that were the ones that traumatized them. That's why it makes me upset when somebody may call in and start talking like that trashy person was, because those are the type of people that are easily able and willing and will violate a child. People like him will violate a child.
Yeah. You know, and it's just sad. It's really, really sad, because once you violate a child, you have stole all their innocence. You have really stolen away their innocence. And no person shall have that right to do, you know. And just so, it's so sad, and it's just so wrong, and it's just not right at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But getting back to these people incarcerated that have gone in when they were young, under the age of 25 and serving life and life without parole sentences, you know, they need to let them out after serving 25 years or more. They need to let them out and put other people inside, like the one that was on earlier. I could pray for somebody like that if they were serious. But those are the kind of people that in school, I'm sure, were bullies. I'm sure they did a lot of damage to a lot of kids in school. But they never learned anything, because at his late age now, sounds to me like he's still the same bully that he may have been back then.
Yeah.
But again, no child is born bad. So somewhere along the line, he was raised to be the ignorant one, the senseless one, the cruel one that he is today. No one is born bad. Somewhere along the line, they're made to stumble themselves, either through the bringing up, or through the community, through the people they're associated with, or their parents associated with. That's what happens. No child is bad. He would probably be one of those children when he was born. If I ever saw him as a child, I probably would have said, oh, he is so adorable. You know, he's going to be somebody when he gets older. You know, you should be proud of him. I can't say that about somebody like that. I can't. But we also know that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spirits. And as it says in Revelation 12, 7 to 12, when Satan was thrown out of heaven, his followers were. So we have two types of spirits. The ones that the Christ Jesus healed when he was in this world, the ones that were possessed, and then we're dealing with the ones that have the evil already in them. So this man that was on today is the one that has the evil already in him. While many in prison were stumbled because of the spirit, the evil that entered into them and left them after they stumbled.
Wow.
We will probably have, in another month or so, we're probably going to have you back on, Donna, because this man kind of like messed everything up, and it's sad because we're trying to do some positive things and get others to be positive too. You know, it's okay, I want to use this man for an example. You know, there's gang members out there, right? And a lot of times people come together and they become gang members because they're adolescents, but they're trying to look for role models. This was certainly not a role model, but they're looking for so many role models. And when they don't find role models, they reach out to somebody that's going through the same thing they're going through. So when it comes to gang members, a lot of times they come together because they all have something in common. What I say to do with something like that, when these gangs come together, try to do something positive. Try to do something that's going to improve and not make your situations worse. There's so many out there, like these prisoners that have been in for years, including Patrick, talking about when they come out, they want to work with younger people to prevent them from going through the same thing. This is the type this is the kind, after 25 years, this is where the audience and the people that have some kind of influence should try to help these people to come out so that they can become productive and help others that have gone through what they went through. The person that was on the show today that came in to do all this damage, he needs to go inside, and he needs to be inside for those many years so that he will get the same kind of heart to try to prevent others from going through what he went through.
Right. That is just crazy. Crazy. You know, this just showed how disrespectful this kid was, and that's all it is.
But I can't even blame him. I have to blame his bringing up, because no one brought up in the proper manner would be talking like he was.
Definitely. Yeah. It's not him.
No. You know, a lot of people are upset with Trump, but I can't even blame Trump, because Trump is doing what he was raised to do. And people like that, they have so much money that while his parents or his father was out there socializing and trying to bring the KKK or whatever about, he probably wasn't there for his son. Donald Trump, you can tell Donald Trump doesn't know what love is all about, because he's never had it. He can't even hold his own son who has autism, his youngest son. You never saw him holding hands with his son. He and his wife would be walking. The poor kid would be following behind like a puppet. I used to see that, and it was so sad to see that kid so lost and to see his father so careless, heartless. And that's what this man was all about. And most likely he's a Trump supporter. But these are things that happen, and unfortunately the cycle has to break somewhere. Now, this man can either be the one to break the cycle that he was raised in and that he's been in. He can break that cycle so that if he ever has children, his children are going to have some kind of love and compassion. His kids are going to be normal. But if he doesn't break that cycle, those kids are going to be like him, and they're going to be, their kids are going to be raised like him. And that's why the country keeps getting worse and worse instead of better. But I don't know. Anyway, Donna, I think that we are going to, I want you to let the audience know how they can reach out to you. You don't have to give your phone number or anything like that, because I'm sure there's other people out there, like the one that came on, that would be a problem. But how people can reach out to you to support, volunteer, help you in any way with your plea to your flight to help Patrick.
You can contact me on Florida Free Pat. That's FLORIDA. Free, FREEPAT. Free Pat is all one word. I'm on Facebook. And you can contact me that way, and I can definitely, you know, I would say please help us, because, you know, just please.
And when you say please help, sometimes people don't know what they can do to help. What they can do is to contact your state representatives, to have them go into the prisons, as Families Against Mandatory Minimums has been trying to get everyone to do. Have them contact the state representatives and ask them to go into the prisons and start meeting with Patrick and others to hear the story.
Right.
Also, they can do research. They can research for post-conviction lawyers, pro bono, you know, criminal lawyers, pro bono appellate lawyers. They can contact the universities in your state, in Florida, the universities that have projects and programs for prisoners. They have clinics where they actually go over the transcripts of the prisoners, the trial transcripts, to see if they can find any errors that were made. They can contact these clinics to find out what they do to help prisoners. They can let you know who these people are or these universities are so that you can contact them directly as well. There's a lot of things they can do. They don't have to leave their home, but do some research, contact some pro bono legal lawyers and see if they will be willing to help in Pat's case. You know, there's a lot of things. Even writing to the individuals themselves to ask if there's anything that they can help directly. But the universities that have these law clinics or clinics for prisoners are all over the country in every state. So they can, and you too, Donna, can contact the universities. Just type in Florida universities with prisoner clinics or projects, and you'll come up with something from some of these universities.
Yeah.
And I wanted to thank you, Donna, for coming on. I know that you mentioned your grandchild was sick. You had to pick him or her up from school. So
you came on
during a crisis. So I just want the audience to know that I appreciate you coming on to talk about these things in spite of having a grandchild that was sick. And I hope everything turns out okay.
Anytime I could talk about Pat's case, I'll definitely come and talk about his case, because it's not fair and it's not right what they have done to him and so many others across this country. And it's not just in Florida, but Florida is the harshest. I will tell you that. Yes.
Yeah, I know this woman whose son was due to come out. This was about 7 or 8 years ago. Her son was due to be released that same month. And apparently he ended up dying. He either had a heart attack or something happened to him. And she had a stroke. She's been in a nursing home. And so she never even got to see her son after all those years. You know, he died that soon. So there's a lot of tragedies out there. There's a lot of heartbreaking things that are happening. And unfortunately, some people, it doesn't bother them in the least. But for others, it bothers us a lot to know that these people are going through these kind of trials and tribulations.
Right. You know, and I think people need to be more kind and just look around.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they need to do. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But audience, we're going to be closing down now. I want to thank you all for listening, Donna. I want to thank you again for coming on. And to the caller that had called in before, I'm not holding it against him, because I know that this is how either he was raised or something went along the way. But I just hope and pray that he changes, because people can't change if they really want to. And I'm sure after his jokes and after his vulgar language and everything that he did, when he goes to bed tonight, it's going to be over. He's not going to, the damage is done. He said things that he shouldn't. He said things that were cold. He said things to make people think that he was sick, crazy, whatever the case may be. But some of us forgive and some of us pray for others. And I'm going to keep him in prayer, because he sure needs it. But thanks again, Donna, for coming on. Audience, we're going to be closing down now. Thank you once again for listening in. And we look forward to hearing from you or having some call-ins that make sense next week sometime. I will be doing an interview on Saturday with Gerald Bowling, who is founder of Bridges for Change. And he will be coming on the show again to talk about his program. So I look forward to that, and that will be at, I believe it's at 12 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you all for listening. Donna, thank you once again for coming on, and I'm sorry that the show had to be interrupted by something that was so unproductive. But we'll keep it on.
That's very true.
Pardon?
That's very true. It's just, you know, but everything works out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Again, like you say, karma. But thanks again, Donna, for coming on. And I look forward. I'll be talking with you to have you back on the show again. And I'll let you know, or you can let me know when it would be a good time. But thanks for coming on again. I thank you so much. And audience, I thank you for listening. And we are now going to end this episode. Thank you.
All right. You have a good day.
You too.